The scripture reference is Luke 18, the first 8 verses. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while. But after a while, he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest she, by her continually coming, she wearies me.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rosa, for reading scripture for us today, and David for our Apostles' Creed reading. And by the way, if you're sitting out there and you think, well, I could do that. I could read scripture in church. I could say the Apostles' Creed. Y'all know who lines those up for us every week? Miss Jackie does. So let Miss Jackie know if you'd be willing to do that, and she will add you to her endless list. And Anna Grace, I want to thank you for sharing your passion today about Compassion International. And I'm amazed that you and your family have sponsored a child so long. Debbie and I started out
years ago when we first got married, sponsoring a child.
I don't remember the circumstance that happened, but we stopped. And today you've nudged me to reconsider that. So I'm going to come down and get that little Haitian boy that I saw earlier. Okay, would you pull that one for me? And pray about that. And I want to encourage you just to drop by and look at their information as well today. Pray for Anna Grace.
She's nearing the finish line of her law degree at Ole Miss. She's scheduled to graduate a little bit later. Some of y'all out there have kids that are graduating. I have one that's graduating Mississippi State in a couple weeks as well. A lot of high schoolers are graduating. And please be in prayer for these students as they finish out their semesters and take exams. And some of them will be studying for all kinds of things this summer, like the bar exam. My son is getting his engineering degree, will be studying for the EFI in order to become, trained, in order to hopefully be certified as an engineer. So we're praying, right? We're praying these big prayers for our kids. Well, today I want to move into this message that we have. And at the end, we're going to come back to the passage that Rosa shared. But I also want to bring us into a psalm, Psalm 18. And we're going to be looking at that in just a moment. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember the first time someone broke a promise to you? I mean, I know we've all experienced it at some point in our life. I was 8 years old the first time I remember someone breaking a promise. My dad promised me one day when I was leaving to go to school that when I returned home from school, that I would be the proud owner of an Atari game console. There were some circumstances going on in my family, and I'll spare you the details of all of that, but my dad felt like he needed to give me a big gift. And so every little 8-year-old boy wanted an Atari back in the mid-80s, and so my dad promised he would get that for me. So I went off to school that day, and I don't remember anything that happened in school. It didn't matter because the only thing that was on my mind was getting what every other little boy had. And that was that Atari. And I came home, I got off the bus and ran to the house, and my dad greeted me with some news. He said, "Son, I do not have an Atari for you." And it was the most crushing news that I had ever heard. He said, "Instead, what I have for you is a VCR." I think, what? 8-year-olds didn't want VCRs in the 1980s. I mean, there was nothing on them. But at that time, it was hard for an 8-year-old to understand. An Atari was a difficult thing to buy in Bruce, Mississippi. Now, Bruce, Mississippi is like Bolton. And so he wasn't able to get it for me. My dad made a promise to me, but he couldn't keep it. And I've never forgotten that. You know, we get used to it, though, don't we? Broken promises. Parents break their promises. Sometimes they don't come through for us or show up like they promised they would. There are certainly friends that break their promises to us. Maybe a friend promised you in junior high that you would be included in whatever was happening, or that they would give you a call, and the call never came. You know, we certainly are aware of politicians that make and break promises. They make promises to get elected, and then oftentimes they don't follow through on those things. Some of you have ex-husbands and ex-wives who broke their promises that they made on their wedding day, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. And those promises got broken. You know, we make promises. We all do it. We all experience promises, and because they get broken so often, we become cynical. We can become cynical about promises. And maybe, you know, we think, why should God be any different? Why should we trust God's promises? We tend to bring the skepticism that we have in the fact that we break promises, we bring that right over into our relationship with God. I mean, why should he be any different than us? But y'all, this is one area that we know for certain that God is different, that God is not like you and me, that God does not break his promises, that he is trustworthy and he is faithful to keep his promises. He isn't like your unfaithful ex-spouse. He's not like our flaky politicians. He's not like parents who sometimes can't hold their promises. God keeps his promises. And God's promises aren't based on you and me. God doesn't keep his promises based on circumstance or situations that can change at a given moment. But instead, God's promises are based on who he is. They're based on his character. And he is never changing. He is constant. And God is eternal. And he is forever the same. God cannot lie. And he will never break a promise that he makes to us. We can trust him, and we can count on him. Now, in our You Promise series this week, we're going to look back at a promise found in one of David's Psalms, and then we're going to come back to the parable that Jesus mentioned. Psalm 18. Also in the call to worship, this promise was echoed in Psalm 118 as well. But Psalm 18:6, I want you to hear. "In my distress," David says, "I cried to the Lord. I called to my God for help. And God heard my voice from his temple. I called to him for help, and my call reached his ears." Now, this is an interesting psalm. I encourage you to read the fullness of it. It's interesting because this psalm isn't just found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 18, but it is also found in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 22.
It is quoted there as well. It's one of the very few psalms that of David that appear not only in the narrative portions of the Bible about his life, but also in the book of Psalms, many of whom were written by King David. Now, it was believed that this psalm was written in the younger years of David's life, before he became king. He was a young man, and in 2 Samuel, when David is nearing the end of his life, these words are still on his lips as he sang them during right before he dies. You know, I think it's pretty cool to think that David sang this song throughout his entire life. When David wrote these words, originally his life was hanging in the balance. He was on the run from King Saul. He was trying to kill him. David was under all kinds of anxiety and pressure. There are enemies encamped around him. So what does David do? He cries out to God. He prays. And he says, "In my distress, I cried to the Lord for help, and he heard my cry." Let me ask you something. Why is it so hard for us to ask for help? You know, I was at Home Depot last week, and I was buying some bags of mulch and some topsoil to work on the flower beds, getting the backyard ready for Caroline's 16th birthday that she had last night. Now, they had a great sale going on mulch last week, so, you know, I couldn't pass up the opportunity to buy a truckload of it. Well, not exactly, but close to it. So I went to the checkout counter to purchase the dirt and the mulch, and I told the lady that I needed 10 bags of topsoil and 10 bags of mulch. And so she rung me up, and then she asked me, "Do you need somebody to help you load that?" And in a split second, I got to thinking to myself, help? Why in the world would I need anybody to help me load 20, 40-pound bags of dirt? I mean, do I look old and frail? Do I look weak? I don't need any help. I'm thinking all of this, okay? I'm thinking about it. So I just looked at the lady and I smiled and I said, "No, ma'am, I'm fine, thank you." And I made my way out to my truck, and for the next 15 minutes, I sweat. Loading my dirt. Y'all, we don't like asking for help because we like to think that we can handle our own business. We don't need anybody. We have pride. It can be something as small as loading dirt, or it could be something big in life. We can be at the end of our rope, just barely hanging on the verge of collapsing underneath the weight of whatever it is that we're shouldering, and yet we convince ourselves that we can figure it out on our own. We don't need any help. Y'all, the hard truth is this. Nobody likes to ask for help, but everybody needs it. We all do. Listen to what David says again. He says, "In my distress, I cried out to the Lord for help." When did David cry out? When did he pray? When he was in distress. Distress. This word distress, it means to be in dire straits. And I'm not talking about the band. Some of y'all have heard of them. But David is in crisis. He's locked up by his situation. And he is in desperate need. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything in your life that has you in distress? Anything got you locked up? tied up. Maybe there's a situation with a relationship that you're dealing with, but you don't know how to resolve it. It might be that there's tension in that relationship, maybe bitterness or unforgiveness, and you need help. There are some of you that are facing huge decisions in life, and you need guidance. You know, I think about our students who are considering what career move they're going to make. I think about our high schoolers that are getting ready to go off to college and choose majors. I think about some who are facing medical treatment. Anything got you tied up in distress? You know, it could be your kids. It could be a challenge at work. It could be something that you're struggling with, like a habit or an addiction that you're wanting to change in your life. You don't know what to do. You can relate to David. My encouragement to you is to do what David does. And what did he do? He cried out and he asked God to help him. Y'all, don't try to suck it up. Don't try to put on tough, thick skin and just do it on your own. Don't be the tough guy. Maybe your situation demands you get on your knees before God and to be brutally honest with Him about what you're struggling with. You need to say to Jesus, Lord, I need your help. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you cried out to God in desperation? Y'all, I can remember back over my life, there have been many of those moments where I have literally gotten on my knees in a dirt road, in a bedroom, in a hotel room, on a prayer retreat, in a church service at the altar, in that prayer room back there. Y'all, there are times when our situation demands us to cry out and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I am desperate for you, Lord. Do you need to do that? To get honest and cry out. Now, I want you to see what God's promise for us today is. David says that when he cries out to God, he says, God heard my voice. He hears us. Y'all, this is good news. I mean, this is great news. When you and I, we call out to Jesus, there is someone listening to those cries. There's a God who cares. A God who sits enthroned over the entire universe, who hears your voice. Do you believe that? You know, last week we talked about how God promises that we can hear His voice. Well, now the Bible assures us that God hears us too. And to make this promise clear, one day, Jesus shared a parable, and it is found in Luke 18. And from the very beginning, the opening of that parable, Luke explains why Jesus tells this parable. It says, Jesus was telling them a parable about their need to pray continuously and to not be discouraged. You see, there was a widow in a town who was mistreated by someone. And she goes to the town judge asking for justice. He refused to hear her cry, so she goes back day after day after day before that judge, pleading her case, and eventually he hears her cries for help. And Jesus ends by saying, "Will not God provide justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night?" You see, every time we call out to our Heavenly Father, we can be assured that he hears us. Your cry for help gets God's attention. When your children cry out to you, does it get your attention? Do you hear their cries? They get your attention no matter what you are doing. You stop and you listen to their cry for help. I remember one day, the first church I was serving, I was praying in the sanctuary one day. My son was 4 years old, Ethan, the one that's getting ready to graduate. And I was sitting in there quietly praying, and I heard this little child calling, "Daddy, Daddy." So I immediately run outside, and he was riding one of those battery-powered gators, you know, those power wheels things, and he'd gotten it stuck in the yard, and he needed me to help him get it out. But I was sitting there, and I heard very distinctly, coming through the walls of that church, my son calling for my help. And God reminded me that day when I went back in there to pray to him that that's exactly what he does when I call out to him. Y'all, this is the God we serve. He loves us. He hears our cries for help. Now, this doesn't always mean that God will make all our problems go away. He won't always immediately remove our pain, and he will not magically change our circumstances. But what it does mean is that God will always be with us no matter what. He will provide for us. He will strengthen us to take the next faithful step of trust in him. It means he'll always be there to listen to our cries and not get annoyed with us, no matter how many times we call out to him. You know, this is what Jesus wants us to know. But some of us learned somewhere along the way that the church was supposed to be a place where we look okay. That we get all dressed up, we put big smiles on our face, and we keep the mess in our lives hidden. We pretend our marriage is fine. We pretend our kids are fine. We pretend that our faith is fine. We just keep polishing that image. But that is not the relationship that God is asking for you. You do not find that in Scripture. But rather, what the Bible calls us to do is to be a people who are constantly crying out to God in honesty, in sincerity, and pleading for help from him. And sometimes that means we need to get desperate, we need to lament, we need to call out. David said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried out to God for help." Y'all, that is language of real relationship. And this is what God asks of us. And here's the beautiful promise that he gives, that when we call out, when we get honest, he hears those cries. He listens to your voice. You see, God welcomes the real you. Not the polished you, not the Sunday best you, but the honest you. The you in distress. The you that is struggling right now. The you that is barely holding it together. When you cry for help, God will hear you. Friends, in a world where promises get broken every single day, aren't you glad to know that God keeps his? So I want you to memorize this promise, and I want you to hold on to it. Speak it over your home. Put your faith in God. You know, that parable Jesus ends, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? What about you? God hears your cries for help. Let us pray. Merciful God, Lord, in our distress, we call out to you. We're tired of pretending that we're fine. We're tired of dressing up our wounds and hiding our fears. We confess that beneath the smiles and the Sunday clothes, many of us are weary, we're anxious, we're frustrated, we're afraid. Lord, some of us are trapped by insecurity and never feel like we are enough. Some of us are consumed by worry and fear of what tomorrow may bring. Some feel isolated, forgotten, and alone. Some carry the sting of rejection and the wounds that still ache deep inside. Lord, some of us are clinging too tightly to control in our lives because surrender feels terrifying. Some are nursing resentment, anger, self-pity. Some of us are quick to judge others while remaining blind to our own need for mercy. God, there are some of us that crave the spotlight, the approval, the applause of people more than the quiet approval of heaven. God, some of us are holding on to bitterness that has hardened our hearts. Lord, this is the truth about us. We need your help. We cannot untangle ourselves. We cannot heal ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. So today we stop pretending. We stop performing. We stop trying to hide what is crushing us. In our distress, we cry out to you. Hear our voice, O Lord. And would you have mercy on us? Come near to your children. Teach the insecure your steadfast love. Quiet the anxious with your peace. Find the isolated with your presence. May you heal those that might be rejected with your acceptance, your approval, Lord. Lord, turn our hearts to you. May we cry to you. May we trust in you today for strength. Because you promise that when we call out to you, you hear us. And we thank you for that promise. And we pray today in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, hear our cry. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us in worship today, and I invite you to come and check out Anna Grace's booth down here with Compassion International before you leave, and I want to offer you this benediction. Go now in the confidence that you are not alone. In your distress, may you call out to the Lord. In your weakness, call upon his name, and in every burden you carry, remember this promise that he hears your voice. Go in the peace and strength and nearness of Christ. Amen. God bless you.